Hello, and welcome to the AI Insiders, the flagship podcast of AI Insiders Everywhere. And who are these AI Insiders? Well, we all are. We're all becoming AI Insiders as we find ourselves in this increasingly AI-imbued world facing many possible AI-imbued futures, where appropriately, more and more of us are realizing that we all have a vested interest in making sure that we manage to get AI to help us realize the best of all these possible worlds. Hi, I'm Adam Russell. I'm the director of the AI division at University of Southern California's Information Sciences Institute, and I'm your podcast host. I'm serving as your virtual guide as we talk to some other AI insiders here at ISI to get their sense of where things are headed, and as a result, what excites them the most, what worries them the most, and what might confuse them the most, because sometimes it feels like if you're not confused, you're not really thinking clearly. Let's call it informed confusion or infermution. So today I'm pleased to introduce another AI insider who will help ensure that I'm also sufficiently infermused, Amandeep Singh. Amandeep is a research programmer here at ISI. It's been here, I think, for almost 10 years at this point. Amandeep will correct me, but let's get started. Amandeep, thank you for joining us on AI Insiders.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Have I got that right? How long have you been at ISI?
Joined in 2015. It's almost 10 years.
All right. My math is not that bad as a social scientist. Excellent. Okay. So let's start with the vaguely insane questions. I am your 12-year-old self. Work with me here. I would love for you to explain to me slash you, what is it you're doing now in ISI and in AI in particular, and why does it matter?
So 12-year-old myself would be mind-blown if I told him that I work for and teach at the same university as one of the richest person in India's son goes to. So so his mind would be blown, like, okay, you're just talking out of your mind. You know, that's not true. But a 12-year-old now, I would tell him that I work in building those knowledge graphs, which are powering things like Alexa, or, you know, the AI assistant they're so used to talk to now. So we here at ISI help build those knowledge graphs, which power those AI assistants.
Okay, so your 12-year-old self probably would know this. Let's pretend it's my 12-year-old self. What do you mean knowledge graph? Explain to me, like, why that's important.
So let's say we have knowledge coming in from all different sources. Like, so knowledge is just some facts. Now we build a graph. A graph is an interconnected system where entities are linked to each other. And by entities, I can mean, you know, like any person or a place or an event. So we build those graphs so that these entities connect to each other and we can find information by just following the links from one to another.
So you're structuring the world in a way.
Structuring the world, yes. So if you ask any AI assistant a question, so they break it down and then identify the entities, and then they go over the knowledge graph, and then it connects, gathers that information, and then presents that to you in a way you understand, like in a human language, kind of speaking kind of way.
So I do want to ask about, you know, your interest in knowledge graphs, and then of course, you know, the explosion in areas like deep learning. What do you take of the sort of recent explosion in generative AI and deep learning? For someone who works with knowledge graphs, who wants explainability, what do you think about that? Do you think it's a fool's errand? Do you think we're in trouble? Do you think we need to pick up our pace or something?
Like every other thing in the life, there is pros and cons, and you know, anything should be consumed in moderation is what I believe in.
Fair enough. Even deep learning, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So generative AI is great in some sense. For some tasks, it's, you know, it's like unparalleled. I like it. But I worry that there is no explaining things. There is no provenance. There is no trustworthiness. Like, okay, you're telling me this, but what is the source of information? Or have you fact checked it? So my worry is we are consuming it at such a great rate without stopping to think about how trusty this thing is. Or should we actually listen to that? And in a way, it's kind of, it might go on to kill critical thinking. Like, I don't know anything. So I'm just going to ask a generative AI and it might give me an answer, and I'm happy with it because it matches my worldview. I don't need to do any further research into that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Let me pull that thread a little bit and ask, like, what are you worried most about in the current situation? Is it that, you know, critical thinking will be dead, or are there other things that you worry about?
So mostly, I think the thing at the top would be critical thinking. It's going to kill critical thinking. So I teach a class at USC, and then, you know, it's like a very basic introduction to Python kind of class. And then I have to mention that you may use ChatGPT or any LLM, but do not use it to do the assignments, because, you know, if you do that, then, you know, why are you taking this course? Just go talk to ChatGPT. So in a way, we should encourage use of AI, but with caution. Use it, but also don't lose your sense of like critical thinking.
Yeah, I heard someone recently opining on the need certainly to embrace AI in the classroom, because it's going to be there, but losing sight of the fact that education is about the struggle, right? It's the struggle to understand that's actually the process. It's not the outcome. We grade and we measure because that's sort of how we have historically measured the process of education, but really it's about that struggle. And so this open question of how do we use AI to make the struggle more effective, not to remove the struggle, but to make it more effective. Are you optimistic about that? The ability to bring AI into education, and what excites you most there?
I'm like vaguely optimistic, but again, as I said, it has to be, you know, it's like in everything should be enjoyed in moderation. So that applies to AI too. I would love for students to ask questions like, oh, what is this piece of code doing and why is it doing that? Mm-hmm. And just instead of asking for, give me the outcome of this particular, you know, assignment or just particular piece of code or any question, just instead of telling me what the answer is, tell me why it's that and how did you come to that, or what other factors did you consider while answering this question, or things like that. So with introduction of that, I think it would be a great tool.
The fact that we were having this conversation about how to incorporate something this powerful in the classroom has taken a lot of people by surprise, obviously, in the last sort of 4 or 5 years. What has surprised you most, both about the current state of AI, but also with your own research? Like, what, when you've been doing this for 10 years at least at USC, what have you found that in the way of your results that you thought were, oh, that's counterintuitive, I didn't see that coming? Or what has surprised you the most?
So I think the thing that surprised me most is how fast it can consume and generate something. I remember working on a project called DIG. It was domain-specific insight graphs. And one of the domains we worked on was human trafficking. And then we spent so much time writing some algorithms to extract phone numbers or emails from the text posted on website, like absolute garbage HTML. And if we had generative AI at that point, our life would be so much easier and we would be so much more productive with that project. I mean, eventually it was a successful project, but, you know, I wonder we could have used that to fight human trafficking a lot better.
And the teams that you've been a part of here at ISI, what makes teams also very good is everybody brings kind of their own superpower. I call it a secret superpower to the team. What do you think your secret superpower is?
So I would say I am very fast at adapting new things. So, you know, if you throw a problem at me, I will give you a solution fairly quickly. I am able to resist and handle pressure well. I would say I'm not easy to break down in when something adverse happens. So I think those are my superpowers.
I could use some of that. That's right. Being unflappable. Given this sort of, I think, frankly, like I said, informed confusion, this sort of information about the future and where we sit right now, who, if you could have dinner, let's say with any person living or dead, and spend some time with them to get their advice about how to think about the future, who would that be and why?
So this is not an AI related person.
It could be anybody. Yeah. Anybody you think who could be useful for helping us kind of anticipate what's coming or how to think about what's coming.
While I was growing, so I saw the 90s India, which was, you know, like on the development stage. It's still in development, but, you know, like very beginning stages. Mm. And then I saw this scientist who shaped up the future of Indian missile system and nuclear tests, and he eventually became the president of the country. His name is APJ Abdul Kalam. So I would like to have dinner with him. He's dead now. He died in 2015. But if I would like to hear his views about how he came up with all these ideas, or what was his work ethic like. So reading about him has introduced me to the term called syncretism. And syncretism means a practice of combining different methodologies and different practices into your day-to-day life. So for example, he was a Muslim guy, but he read the Hindu holy books, he read Bhagavad Gita. And then he played music, for example. So he was able to combine all those mindsets and traditions into being successful, I would say. So I would like to hear his thought about, like, what's a good way of humanity to proceed? Or like, you know, how do we not self-destruct?
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm proud to say that I think it's an anthropological term. I think syncretism was something that came out of early anthropology, but certainly that's where I heard it first. But yeah, this notion that you can blend things and you can bring on a lot of different lenses. And the value is you can look at the world through those different lenses and see things collectively that anybody with just one lens won't see. Do you think AI needs to be regulated more than it is now? I realize this is a very controversial question, but just curious in your thought.
Yes, I think that 100% it should be regulated. So there is, internet now is full of AI generated content, you know, like articles are written by AI, tweets by AI, deep fakes by AI, and then like making very credible videos, for example, of someone saying something which, you know, they have never said. And it's just unregulated. You know, this the commercial companies say, oh, you know, we don't do that. We cannot create this image for you. But you can always take that model, train it to do whatever you want it to do. And it's already happening. So yeah, definitely, I think it needs to be regulated. We need to have like a trustworthiness index. And also, I think most important is provenance. Where are you getting this from? Or like, what are your sources? And why did you show this to me?
What's your favorite sort of AI relevant movie or book? I don't know if you read science fiction, or what do you think is an interesting story that resonates with you?
So I would go from movies and books to games. So I play video games, and then recently this game came out. It's called Horizon Zero Dawn, and it's a game about how the humans have self-destructed. It's like 1,000 years in future. And they are now primitive tribes. But there are machines roaming in the world, which are very advanced, right? So how they came into picture, like who's making these machines and so on. So somebody made a robot, which works on biomass. So something went out of hand. And then, you know, those robots or those machines start killing every human being because they are apparently biomass. So then there was a scientist who wanted to prevent all this. So they created an AI which could self-regulate, which could create terraforming systems, which could generate machines. So for example, they don't have cows in the future, but they have a machine which does what cows is doing, right? So they produce milk and they eat the grass and then, you know, all these things. So self-sustained terraforming system is what that whole game is about. And then finally, you know, you as a player, you find like, what's the origin, what happened, and how we came up, and so on. So I think that's my favorite, like, recent games about AI.
I think that's the maybe the first time someone's mentioned a game on the podcast. I think it's really, really informative. I think that's actually, because it is a good story, but it's one you're playing as well. Okay, got your story. Talk to your 12-year-old self. Talk now to not your 12-year-old self, but a younger person nonetheless, who's interested in getting this area. What advice would you offer to, let's say, a young person, won't define the age, but a young person who's interested in this general area, given how fast technology is moving, given how confusing the future looks, what would you advise them to do?
I would definitely advise them to pursue this, like pursue the AI field. It is the future. It is interesting. it is here. But I would tell them to work on how do you actually make someone believe that this is for your benefit. And, you know, the goal is, you know, you achieve the goal, but by what means? So if you're a lawyer, or you want to win a case, but you were breaking into houses to gather some evidence or whatnot. So, you know, let's say you're not a very ethical lawyer. So ethics of it, I would tell that person to pursue this, but also try to build all these supporting systems, which help the general population have the sense of relief, or they should not be scared or worried of using something because they know where it came from or how it's doing its things. So, yeah, pursue this, but also build systems to keep it ethical.
Right. Okay. So think about it in the context of building this technology, but really always have trustworthiness in mind and think about, you know, the ends don't justify the means at some point.
Yes.
Yeah. Those means matter too. Yeah. I think that's fair. You mentioned your concerns to a degree reasonable about things like deep fakes. I do want to ask if you could have any deep fake voice on this podcast, what voice would you choose?
Oh, I will give you an India-centric answer again. There's this very famous Bollywood actor. His name is Amitabh Bachchan. Very deep, commanding voice. You know, when they made, I think it's called Bruce Almighty or something. Yeah, so he was the voice of the god. So, you know, he's like very powerful.
Okay. Yeah.
Very powerful, commanding voice. So that would be my choice.
I like it. I'd have to go with James Earl Jones, who just died, unfortunately. Yeah. Having apparently signed off the rights to his voice. So
before
he died. Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I think that is happening a lot now. So a lot of actors, they have signed off, or their families are signing off. And then so that they can continue their voice in like games or... So Lance Reddick is another example. So he died. He was in one of the John Wick movies. He's in like many different.
Mm-hmm.
He's also main character in Horizon Zero Dawn. So now they want to make sequels of it, and then they're still able to use his voice. So that is,
man. I mean, it's going to be interesting. As you play that, I guess two other questions then. Given how fast the technology is moving, how do you keep up? So the term I'm using right is informed confusion. How do you stay informed in this area?
So I did follow this podcast on your recommendation. I think it's called Last Week in AI or something. So I'm following that. I try to keep up with stuff happening, articles online, and then in general, just talking to other researchers at ISI, because I think that is the most productive way of me to learn about things. So, you know, just talk to like Fred, for example, or Gleb, who I work with, and just talk like, what's new? What are you doing? How are you using it? Stuff like that. So,
what a radical concept. Talk to other human beings and learn from them. Anthropologists will tell you that, yeah, we are overfixated on our own intelligence as something that happens between our ears. And actually, human intelligence is what happens between people. Or that's sort of distributed cognition in that regard. Makes sense to me. And in this pursuit, Amandeep, I'm really thankful that you're part of the team. So thanks again for coming on board. Thanks for being so thoughtful in your responses. And I think, again, a lot of people think that sort of AI is this magic. It is not. It is people making this happen. You are a perfect example of how this happens. And by people who at the age of 12 never would have considered this possible. So yeah, some of a small hero for me. Thank you, Amandeep.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
All right. Well, if you enjoy these short podcasts, or even if you don't, please let us know. We love feedback. So you can rate us, grade us, subscribe to us, hit me or ISI up on LinkedIn, send over a carrier pigeon, whatever. But of course, most of all, we hope you'll keep listening and learning, and that you'll join us again for another episode of AI Insiders, where we'll keep exploring, keep learning, keep humanizing AI, and hopefully help navigate our way through this weird, weird world, trying to do what humans can do best when they face these kinds of challenges, working together as if all our lives depend on each other, because they do. So for now, for the future, fight on.